That's the noises I just made of you, Dan, right there.
Anyway, that's my beats.
Zip. Zap. Zap. Zip.
Noise boys.
Noise boys. We're bringing the noise. Welcome to week two with the noise boys.
Hey, hey, hey.
We're here to
it's your boys.
It's the noise boys.
What was your name?
My name was Laser with the noise boys. And you're listening to episode 140.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hype. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Man, oh man. What is that?
Oh, this is a nice warm Joe.
A cup of Joe.
Dan and I are planning on going and seeing Predator after we record this.
That's right. The Predator. I've been pretty stoked for that movie.
Really?
Ever since I invested $39 in a limited chase fugitive Predator.
That's an investment.
I'm like banking on this thing being gold.
Right, right.
Be good.
I mean, you know. It's the Predator, and I guess he faces, like, when you think, when you sat down to write this movie, and you thought to yourself, well, I mean, how does the Predator, you know, like, what does he train? What does he do? How does he become a Predator? What happens? And it's like, well, how do we make it bigger? How do we make it better?
Big Predator.
Let's get a big Predator.
Make it bigger.
It's a Hollywood move. I do have to say, though, it was written by Shane Black.
Who's that?
And directed by Shane Black.
Who that is.
And Shane Black originally did, do you remember the Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe, like, cop flick?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't like that movie, The Nice Guys?
Dude, I didn't see it because I got pissed off at the commercials.
Really?
Me and Jenny, we don't have cable, so, like, all of our commercials are through, like, Hulu.
Right.
And they were pumping them through Hulu that me and Jenny were just like, dude, fuck this movie.
Dude, Nice Guys was so good.
Really?
Oh, it's so good.
Maybe I should watch. And I'm not a big Russell Crowe guy.
Well,
he was
fantastic in this movie. And just to be fair, like, Shane Black wrote that movie. He also, I believe he also wrote the original Lethal Weapon. And he wrote The Last Boy Scout. Remember that? Bruce Willis.
And Damon Wayans,
right?
Yeah, he was
involved in The Last Action Hero, RoboCop 3. Like, he's done, he wrote Iron Man 3.
Oh, okay.
Like, which isn't the greatest Iron Man. It's actually the worst. Well, I don't know. Iron Man, and then there's the rest of the Iron Mans.
Yeah, 3's probably not the best.
But he also was involved in the original Predator.
Okay.
So, you know, he's got some clout. He's got a little clout. He's been doing it a long time. So, being that guy, you know.
Here's my thing about The Predator.
What's that?
I like it because it's an action horror. I got to keep it, it holds some horror genre. I think our boys Joe and Phil would agree with me. They love Predator, but it is sort of horror-y.
It is horror-y, and I'm wrong about Shane Black writing that. I apologize. My bad. He didn't write it. But
like the first Predator was scary. It was
right.
It was a little scary, and that creature, that alien, is still. We don't know much about him. We don't,
and maybe this movie helps introduce us to that.
Yeah.
I think the fact that you don't know much about him other than he's a hunter.
Yeah.
And he like kills for sport.
And he has dogs now.
He's got dogs in this movie.
He had hounds in Predators with Adrian Brody. Remember those dogs with the fucking horns?
And I don't remember. I don't remember dogs in Predators.
They had predator dogs.
In the I like that movie. Did you like that movie?
Yeah.
They send like all these kinds of different people on this planet, and then the hunter, and then the predators hunt them.
I didn't like Topher. That's about it.
You didn't like that.
I didn't like Topher.
Serial murderer guy. I thought it was cool. I was cool with it. Yeah. I liked the little twist.
People thought Adrian Brody was a little too Christian Bale Batman. Like, I'm going to get these guys.
Oh, no. I mean,
I thought he was fine.
I thought he was great. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Predators. But this movie is also the first time they call a predator a predator.
Oh, they use it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what? I don't know. Like, I'm going.
I don't know
this,
much. Yeah.
I don't want to. I kind of don't want to know much.
Yeah.
Because I kind of want to be surprised and not know what to expect. Because I don't. All I know is that there's a big giant predator that hunts a smaller predator, and I don't know. I imagine there's going to be something where a human saves the predator, and it's like now we're friends, just like you saw in like Alien vs. Predator.
Oh, that shit pissed me off. The girl who kills an alien, and the predator like looks over at her and is like, we're friends now.
Let's go hunt aliens.
Quick, let me burn some acid into your face, and now we're buddies.
I'm okay with it. I'm all right with that.
Use this alien skull as a shield.
The whole show was like a little nutty anyway, so I'm okay. I'm all right with that.
You know my boy's in this, though, right?
Who's your boy?
Key.
Key who?
Keegan.
Really?
Keegan-Michael Key is in this.
Is he really?
And I sent out a tweet that I think I need to abide by.
What's the tweet?
If Keegan-Michael Key dies, I leave.
What does that mean, you leave?
I get up and I walk
You're
out.
You're saying that if we're in this movie...
If Key dies, Dan's leaving.
You know I'm driving, right?
I will sit outside on a bench. If he dies, I need at least 40. Give me 45 minutes with Key.
Come on. What?
You think they'll give us 45 with Key?
Easily. Easily.
Do you think, let's call it, do you think he will make a joke about being a black guy who dies in the movie?
I don't know.
You think he'll be like, guys, I don't know. I don't want to walk in first. You know what happens when you walk in first. Like, you think he'll say something like that?
See, that's when you should say, I'm going to walk out, not when he dies.
When he says some, like, self-aware, I'm the black guy
black
who dies.
Guy stuff, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What would it look like if he says something and then he, like, references Danny Glover? You guys ever see that movie with Danny Glover?
Or if he's like, I'm getting too old for this shit.
Right, exactly.
Even though that's Lethal Weapon and has nothing to do with Predator.
No.
Here are the things that I hate with black actors in movies. I hate the tropes.
Okay.
I hate that the black guy in a horror group dies normally. I hate that they're usually the comic relief.
Right.
I hate that if they don't die, it's like, ooh.
Right.
Edgy, you know?
Is that the case?
I hate that shit.
People say that?
Well, like if you...
I mean, you want to know who transcended, like, my black character's not dying. You want to know who it was?
Who?
Ice Cube.
Ice Cube?
Ice Cube said, fuck that, I'm not dying. He's like, I'm going to do Anaconda. My ass ain't dying in Anaconda.
I ain't
going
to die, though.
And I love that he didn't die.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think it was edgy. I just loved his character so much. Like, why is he going to die? I hope he doesn't die. And he didn't die.
And was he self-aware?
But I was young enough where I said to myself, he's dead.
Yeah,
when
right?
I started watching this movie.
Black guy's going to die, for sure.
Ice Cube's dead. And then it also happened again in, what was it? Something of Mars, right?
Oh, Mission of Mars, Ghost of Mars,
Ghosts of Mars.
Yeah.
He survived in that one too.
He might throw that in his contract.
He might agree. Like, he's like,
hey,
my character can't die.
I'm not gonna fucking die. I'm not gonna be that black guy. Who
Absolutely.
Dies.
So I salute Ice Cube for just being like,
or like the other
stereotype,
the other trope where the black guy like. He's about to die and like looks at the camera and's like, oh, fuck.
Splash.
Yeah.
Blood on the screen.
Or Deep Blue Sea. Like just gets fucking.
Right.
Sam Jackson dead.
Sam Jackson dies how many times in movies?
He dies all the time.
He does.
Jurassic Park.
It was sad when he died. I was like, why did he have to die?
Yeah.
And I mean, Nedry died though.
His hand.
Right.
His arm. She's like, I think we got it. We had that hand. Prop store had that arm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did it go on an auction?
No.
Somebody bought it
fixed
privately?
Price. This was like before we were doing auctions, yeah.
That's a good piece. That's a big
Sam's
deal.
Hand.
That's a big deal, man.
That's such a great scene. But yeah, I can't stand those tropes in films.
Right.
Am I using that word right? Tropes?
Maybe. You know,
like
a trope is a figurative or metaphorical use of a word or expression. So no,
no. What do you call those?
He used two Americas trope to explain. What do you mean? Like, what do you call what?
Or stigmas, or like stereotypes.
I mean, it's like kind of a stereotype.
Black
but it's
stereotypes
not a
in movies.
Black, it is a black stereotype. Is it a stereotype though?
Like they die. Yeah, because or typecast. I know an actor can be typecast. So like, if you're always the nerdy brainiac, you're typecast as a nerdy brainiac.
You know, and actually, trope might work because it's also a common or overused theme or device.
Okay. Yeah.
So trope.
These are devices.
Yeah, where exactly. Like where the black man dies.
Hello? Where is everybody?
Right, absolutely.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always some like, no shit. Like, it's always some like overly mouthy black person.
Right.
Right?
That should be a Key and Peele sketch where like there's like five black guys in a movie.
Yeah, it's one white guy. They go into like some murder, some like, you know.
But all the black guy tropes in films are still used.
Right.
So like every other scene, like a black guy like walks into a fucking room and it's just like, God damn it.
Head cut off.
Then another guy like falls down a ladder, looks at the screen like, oh shit.
I'm getting too old for this shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then the white guy is just like, oh, okay. Is it just me in this movie? Well, yeah, we all have to die.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, man. But so, yeah.
And then it'd be funny if, like, you get through all of that, and then at the end, the two black guys team up on the white guy, and they're just like, we know all of us die, and you're the guy that walks out of here.
Right.
So if you're dead, somebody's got to survive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, like, the whole room just blows up.
That's a funny idea. I like that idea, Dan.
You like that sketch?
I do.
Like, last episode, we got to find more black guys we know, though, to be in it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've got two friends. Though Marshall. We got three.
Marsh. Yeah, we got Marsh.
We got Marsh. Abe will do it.
Cool. And we all just get killed
around
you. Three
of us. We can do, like, we got to get four of us, and then the three of you team up against to kill me because two of them dying. Like, we know how this ends.
Yeah.
We know how this plays out.
Okay, we've already had the funny death. Like, we're all, like, huddled up.
And then the twist at the end is that I'm the killer.
Right. That's cool. But like, yeah,
mind blown.
We all like huddle up, like, okay, so Jimmy already died, and he looked at the camera and said, "Oh fuck." So there's that.
Yeah, that's fine. We should totally do that. That sounds like a great idea.
That would be cool.
Anyway,
so yeah, if Key dies the first 5 minutes, I'm leaving.
Right, as you should.
I want some Key in this film.
Right.
We must have it. And I want some unmasked Predator. I want mech. I want mechanical face.
I like
the freaking ging. Like I don't like them in the mask.
I love the mask.
What's the point of the mask?
It's just like it's so badass, right? It's so badass.
But under the mask is even more creepy.
Is it out of control?
Yeah, they got the freaking teeth.
I don't like it.
They got teeth. They got the vagina
looks like
mouth.
A vicious, like yeah, it looks like teeth. It's like the movie Teeth. Right? Is the movie called Teeth?
Yeah, where the girl like...
She's got a vagina that eats your penis.
Yeah, she gets like raped too much that her vagina starts to like evolve into like a weapon.
Yeah, a hungry beast.
Eats dicks.
Anyway, yeah. Whatever.
All right. So we're seeing that.
Tonight, Predator.
That's why we're eating coffee. I went to Nashville for the... Imperial Commissary Collectors Convention.
Oh, you don't say there, buddy.
You went to Nashville? Yes, sir.
Home of the Grand Ole Opry.
You like strut around like, me. What is
it's
that?
It's like my shoulders thing. It's like I'm like walking with my big knees.
No one did that.
Nobody did that.
But in Nashville.
Every corner there was boots, shoes, barbecue, and a bar.
Every corner, man.
Every corner in Nashville. Simplify your Nashville experience. What is it again?
It's a beautiful place. I really like Nashville. It was muggy. I was there right at the beginning of the hurricane. We were a little scared about that. We had our flights changed coming back. At first, we were supposed to go from Nashville to Charlotte. We were like, fuck that. We ain't going to North Carolina.
Right.
But we were lucky. I went down there with Propstore. We announced our 2019 vintage toy auction, we're getting into toys.
And when is that starting?
February 2019. I don't think there's a set date yet, but that is
all online?
Yeah, that'll be a live auction.
That's a live auction?
Yeah.
Really? In Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's fun. And
how many lots are you guys looking at having? Can you announce that?
I don't know. I mean, we're taking consignments now. But like, if you have, and that's for anybody, all you geeks out there holding on to your toys.
You want to sell them, you want to sell them big.
Yeah, you hit me up if you want to part with them. But it was really cool. I'm a toy. That's how this whole thing started, you know? As a kid, I loved toys.
And movies.
And movies.
Right.
And then movies that made toys. You know? I stole my brother's Star Wars toys. I chewed them up, played with them. But we got to get away from people telling you, from people telling us that that's not going to be worth anything down the road. You don't know. You just don't know. And this is proof.
Yes, but mind you, a lot of these toys are probably 30 or 40 years old.
Right.
And like, if we're talking your age,
mm-hmm.
you realize like when you can sell these, you're going to be like
90.
70 or 80 yeah. years old.
Yeah.
And even then, it's like, how rare are they?
True. But I mean, there's something to be said. I mean, well, look, like Star Wars toys came out in the 70s.
Yeah. It would have been 77, 78 because Star Wars came out in May of 77.
And now it's sort of, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That much about like the vintage toy market fluctuation, but I do know that the good ones hold value, and I'm talking like several thousand dollars. Like I know there's the Jawa, little Jawa with the vinyl cape.
Right,
that thing is mega bucks.
Like what are we talking?
We're talking like thousands, 50 grand.
$50,000?
Something like that.
Vinyl cape Jawa?
Yeah, and like I learned all these new terms, like carded. It's got to be carded.
What does that mean?
Like, remember action figures had the big, they were in a plastic bubble, right?
Yes.
And on a card that would hang on a rack.
Right.
And that card is carded.
Okay.
So if you want a vinyl cape Jawa, you got to be like, is it carded?
Right.
And is it punched?
Right.
And then the little notch that like you would hang on a thing that would stick out of the shelf.
Right.
That even increases the value. Is it punched or unpunched?
Okay.
So you're like, I want an unpunched carded Jawa near mint.
Because you're not going to find mint.
No. And like this cape, that's what it's all about. The vinyl cape.
Unpunched, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, let's see here.
What do you got?
I mean, it's like, that's the one. Carded vinyl caped Jawa.
Really?
Yeah, it's a big deal. The Boba Fett that shot the rocket.
Yeah, that's the big one. Like, if anybody ever has an opportunity, you want to kind of get an idea a little more into this, Netflix has a series called
The Toys That Made Us. Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And it's fun. They have like a Star Wars thing, and they talk about the rocket-propelled back piece that's on the Boba Fett and how there's missing pieces, and they were worried about selling it because kids could choke on it and die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was all kinds of things. But and then there's also another episode about He-Man, Masters of the Universe, and all of the characters that were involved in that. And
right.
Flow and G.I. Joe and you name it. These toys. Crazy big deal.
I mean, and my brother, since he was born in the 70s, he had all that shit. But like, we were normal. We played with that stuff.
Some people collected it, obviously, because they're still out there. But
yeah. But so a Star Wars vinyl cape Jawa was estimated to sell between 8,000 and 10,000 pounds.
Okay, so anywhere between 10 and $14,000, right?
Yeah, but it was sold in Vectis auctions for 21,000 pounds.
So like 30 grand. Wow. That's
yeah.
a big deal.
Vinyl cape Jawa. But I mean, it's so hard. You, as a parent or whatever, you got to buy two. Buy one to keep in the packaging.
No,
and
one to play. What are you doing, man?
You have to.
No, you don't have to do anything.
If you want to possibly like invest in something, you get like a
toys are the way to go.
I don't know if toys are the way to go today, but I mean, and I don't know that. I'm not saying that pop figures are going to blow up like Beanie Babies per se. Like Beanie Babies were insane.
They were huge.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course I remember that.
Remember like rabid mothers like running into McDonald's at like Beanie Baby trade sales? Like, yeah. I need the puppy. Right. Give me the puppy.
Yeah, I get it.
It's but there's something to be said. Like I was at this convention walking around looking at all these toys me and my brother and sisters had. And I got this, like, the nostalgia boner that you get, like, seeing your old toy.
Right.
I don't know what to compare that to. It's like love, it's like desire, and just like a fond, like, memory.
Yeah. It's really cool. It's as if Willy Wonka pulled up in his, like a crazy boat. You jumped in it, and then you just drove back to being a child.
Yeah.
And it's like you remember, like, you personally see yourself on the ground playing with these toys.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say that. The toys and just remembering that it's funny. It's a packaged moment.
Yeah.
In your life.
And it's so cool that the human brain can recall that so vividly.
And connect it. Right.
Like I'm looking at this Cobra, like G.I. Joe base.
Right.
That was like amazing, Cody. Like it had the freaking guns on the side. All of the doors like opened up. In the center, there was this dome that you like pulled this thing and the dome would open.
Right.
And you could fire a fucking spaceship out of the center of it. I had that.
That's pretty badass.
I saw two of them at the show opened. They were selling them for $250. And I like remembered literally, I remembered the game, like the time that I played with it. I remembered like the story of the G.I. Joe game.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Like I was like instantly, that's why it was so cool you mentioned that, because I was like instantly back in my like parents' freaking basement, like remembering that.
It takes you to those moments. That's the idea. That's why people collect this stuff.
Yeah. And is that worth $250? Getting it back? Like looking at that on the wall or whatever you're gonna do with it. Like recreating a scene in your man lair with it, like that could be fucking cool.
You feel like that's okay?
I mean, if I had more space,
I'd buy more garbage.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm the type of collector that I'm not here to flip stuff, and like I'd be sort of a black hole.
I mean, that's what a collector is, though. They're not necessarily somebody that flips stuff. It's a nice word for saying somebody that hoards things.
Yeah. I'd keep it for myself to, like, cherish, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
And then let somebody deal with it when I'm dead.
Absolutely. Who's going to take care of all that garbage?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's cool, man. That's awesome. But you had a good time.
It was a really good time. Good eating.
Good
eating down there. Freaking Nashville is... We had some awesome barbecue.
Cream of the crop,
man. We had these apples, these cinnamon apples as a side that would like just melt in your mouth. Caramel.
Oh, very nice.
It's beautiful. I'm like, this is a fruit? This is a dessert.
Nice.
It was fantastic.
You walk away. Did you walk away with any Nashville swag?
I didn't. I got some pops at the show.
Who needs a reminder like that?
I actually wanted a Tennessee shirt, like what's their college team?
Which one? The University of Tennessee?
Volunteers.
Yeah.
I wanted a Vols shirt, but they didn't have them in the airport.
Huh.
I was like, all right, sons of bitches.
Moving on.
See y'all. But yeah, a lot of hey y'all. Hey, I want to go down there and party. We should go there.
Yeah.
We've had some numbers in Tennessee.
I've experienced Nashville one time. I got stuck in an airport overnight, and I stayed the night in the airport.
Next year, when we are asked to tour... For the Dan and Cody podcast.
Yeah, of course.
We should make Tennessee a stop.
Oh, absolutely.
It's cool down there. Saw a lot of bachelorette parties, a lot of cowboy boots, a lot of love. A
lot of hats.
Several hats.
Right.
And I was so shocked at the live music. Like, you go to a bar in LA, it's all DJs.
Right.
It's all, like, jukebox.
Right.
Every
jukebox is probably not really the truth.
Well, the whatever they call them now, like the touch screen jukeboxy.
Right.
Pay $5 and skip your buddy's song. Right. Remember that shit? I used to get so mad. But every bar, live music.
Okay.
Every single bar. And people getting fucked up.
Of course.
Like, I think it was Broadway Street in downtown Tennessee. It was literally like Tennessee's version of the Vegas Strip.
That sounds like it could be fun, huh?
Yeah, good time. We should go there.
No problem. I'll put on my I Love Nashville tee. Let's roll over.
Let's do it.
Dan, I think it's time for this week's
True Crime.
Do you know who Lorenzo Wright is?
Lorenzo Wright. Is he a ball player?
Yeah, basketball player.
Okay. Yeah.
He played for the Clippers.
LA?
Yes. He played for the LA Clippers, and he was drafted in 1996 by the Clippers. And he played for about 13 years in the league, and he went back and forth, and he went through a whole bunch of, like, you know, he went to a whole bunch of teams, but he played for the Clippers for several years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up, you know, he played for all those years. That was great. And what happened is in 2010, he was found murdered. Five bullet holes in his body. Like two in his chest, two in his head, and one in his arm.
Wow, that is a straight up murder.
It's a straight up murder. He went missing.
Two in the chest.
Yeah, and then his body was found several days later. And apparently his body, because of where he was, he was killed, I think it was in Atlanta. It was in Georgia or something like that. And in Georgia, it gets so hot and humid. I'm sorry, it was in Memphis, Tennessee. It gets so hot and humid. And he was shot in the middle of July. So by the time the police found his body, he had decomposed to the point where nobody could recognize who it was.
Oh my God.
So they had to take his teeth to identify who the man was.
Yeah.
Well, his case went cold, like very quickly, because by the time they found the body 3 or 4 days later, all the evidence was pretty much gone because it had decayed.
Yeah.
Right. So his case went cold for like a number of years.
But if they could tell how, like, remember your frozen man from like centuries ago that they found?
Yes, but that was scientific like testing. They weren't sure how he died, and then they actually did a whole MRI to determine what was in his stomach and
all of that
stuff. So how he died was always questioned.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that was kind of one of those weird things with that. Well, what happened was Sunday, there was this big expose in the LA Times, and they were basically interviewing his kids. And he was married, and he had an ex-wife, and he was paying child support and alimony to her.
Uh-huh.
And he also had $1 million life insurance policy. Which $1 million to this guy isn't that big of a deal. I mean, he had a lot of money, right? Yeah.
I mean, he was a journeyman on many a basketball team.
Right, right. And after he disappeared, like, his dad thought, like, oh, he just went to Europe to, like, work some things out in his head, right? He's spending some time in Europe. And his mom was really worried, and she's the one that ended up calling the police and saying, you know, this is what happened. What ended up happening was, he died. His wife ended up getting $1 million life insurance policy after he died. And that paid out. And apparently she ended up spending that within like a year.
$1 million?
Yeah, like 10 months, I think, is what the LA Times had said in the paper. She spent that $1 million that fast, right?
What the fuck was she buying?
Well, you know, she bought a house. She paid for her kids' things and all of that jazz. Like, you know, they were living an expensive lifestyle anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a matter of time. But in 2017, let's see, they found what believed to be was the gun used to murder him in a lake.
Wow.
And she was arrested for his murder. His ex-wife was arrested in December. That following month, she was arrested in connection with the murder of him.
Because of the gun?
Because of the gun. Like, it had gone cold, and then they ended up finding some information that saying that there was a gun there. And they believe that the motivation was this $1 million life insurance policy.
That might be why she spent it so quick.
Yeah, exactly. So they did the pretrial, and they've gone through that, and apparently, like, there was, let's see.
That's so scary, man, to be murdered and then, you know, no one knows how or why, you know, right. That's a fear. Like you just go unresolved, you know?
I mean, if you're dead, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but think about
for the family, you want some light. You want
like figure it out.
Like, yeah, for the family, you definitely want a resolution.
Yeah,
you need some kind of closure.
Yeah,
and it is unfortunate that family had to like experience that because he had kids.
Yeah,
and then the person that killed him was the person you call mom or dad.
It's fucked up. Money is. That cannot buy happiness.
It destroys people. It destroys people.
The almighty dollar.
You know, and it's just one of those things where, you know, what are you going to do?
Damn. So where's it at now, basically?
She's on trial at this point. Like, they've gone through it. In March, ABC News reported that they started the pretrial hearings and then started to go through that whole process of, like, you know, charges of first degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. And apparently it's not just her that's going to jail.
Yeah. It seems like this, there was
another person that was involved. I think the, let's see, Billy Turner, he was a Shelby County landscaper and church deacon, helped.
And I'm sure he got some of that money too.
Yeah, I believe so. He probably got some, like, a kicker. So
maybe he was.
I mean, there's all kinds of stories, like, you know, Lorenzo Wright was banging other women.
Sure.
While they were married. And, you know, she's trying to, like, justify all of that in her head. But that's nuts.
Murder is never the answer, guys.
Don't do murder
for money,
for anything.
Yeah.
Life's too precious.
It's really not that hard to go through life and not kill people.
Absolutely right. But I would say that it's almost impossible to go through life and not buy a Funko Pop.
Yeah, that's tough.
According to Dan Hill.
It's much harder to not buy Funkos than it is to not kill people.
Absolutely. And that's this week's
True Crime.
So I experienced my first bidet.
Ooh, and you want to talk about this?
I want to talk about this because I feel like I need to talk to somebody because I feel like I've been violated.
Really?
It's weird.
Oh, I think it's beautiful.
What?
I think it's a lovely thing.
So I sat on one of these like fancy thousands of dollars of toilets, right? Like,
were you nervous?
Stupid, crazy, expensive toilet. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I have this remote in my hand that allows you to push the button that will clean said hole, right? And I'm thinking to myself, there's toilet paper right next to me. Do I use it? Or I'm like nervous.
Yeah.
Kind of like, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, do I need to sit in a special place? Is this one of those things? So
am I positioned right?
Am I positioned right? So this thing apparently has a front and a rear. So you can have it come at you from both ends.
Oh, nice.
So,
cause the front's for the ladies. Yeah.
I'm guessing the front's for the ladies.
Yeah.
So I shoot the front cause I didn't think about that. I was too sexist, misogynistic, whatever you want to call it. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll try it from the front first. And it shot me and I wasn't ready.
You get your berries?
It got me a little bit. I was a little, it's like, ooh, that's cold. It wasn't warm water. And then what happened was I waited, and then I shot again, this time from the rear.
Yeah. And you were affected?
It felt... I've never had this happen to me, but it felt like somebody was using their tongue.
I gotta get on this toilet. What's going on? Really?
Oh yeah.
It felt like a tongue.
It felt like a tongue. It was like a dog's tongue. It was like so wet, but so directed. And this toilet was like, must have like laser focus. It must have a thing that determines that where, like, it's going to shoot, because it has a little door. It opens the side. Now it's the little jet. And it must have some kind of like laser guidance system, because everybody sits on the toilet a little differently.
Yeah. But it can somehow seek
it
out.
It must seek out said hole.
Imagine that.
Target it.
Why do I feel like bad for that program? Like, its only mission is to find the chocolate starfish.
But it's interesting, because that would then mean that, like, if it succeeds, it's done its job. It should, like, that's what it was programmed to do. You can't feel bad for that.
Yeah,
it's like if there's a murder robot, and right, its job is to be a murderer, and it murders, then you can't fault the machine for doing what it was programmed to do.
But the sadness is the outsider looking in saying, this is all this thing knows.
Maybe I should teach this toilet to love.
Right.
Just like I should with the murder robot.
Exactly.
Can, like, I teach this murder robot to love? Can I teach this bidet to love?
Yeah. It's like, this poor thing is programmed to only find butts.
Right.
Like, what if it could find more?
What if it could find faces?
What, like, the dream, I guess, is to be like a water fountain.
Right. Absolutely. That's the dream of a bidet.
And it just doesn't know.
Right. Right.
What it does.
Right.
So were you into it by the end?
I'm never doing it again.
You'll never do it again.
It felt wet. There was a dryer in there.
It dried it too.
There was a dryer system in there. But I thought to myself, no. I just can't. I can't accept this.
I wonder, is it more more eco-friendly to use more water to clean than the ply paper?
See, that's what I was asking myself too. But the thing is even if that's the case, that water gets recycled.
Yeah. Ugh.
So it's not like it's cool and it's stuck there. But that water ends up like going up there and then it drips back down.
Mm-hmm.
So for the most part, it's just a cycle. You're not like overusing water.
Right. And what water is it pulling from?
Your house water. Yeah. It's your sink.
Right. Just in a toilet.
Right. Just like your toilet water is from the sink.
Yeah.
It's processed water, just like everything else. So, who dat ninja?
But you're down, though.
I'm done.
You're done.
I'm not doing it again. I'm over.
Can you change it? Can you change the severity?
As a matter of fact, there are pulsating settings. But after I experienced it the first time.
What were you on, high?
I was just on whatever it shot at me.
You were on seek and destroy.
There was the nuclear option. I pushed that one.
Yeah.
No,
you got to start slow.
I mean, is there a slow?
You got to use like,
I mean, just I wanted it, I wanted it clean. I didn't want, like, you know.
You pushed the tongue button.
Right.
not go gently into the night.
It was, yeah.
I had one experience on the honeymoon in Hawaii. The toilets there had the
really?
Remote.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I loved it. I thought it was great.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm into that sort of thing. Mine didn't feel like a tongue. It just felt like water coming at me.
Good.
And I felt refreshingly clean.
Refreshingly clean.
Yeah.
Like you just took some warm water and just patted it on your face?
Like
that kind of refreshing?
I mean, I grew up a fresh wipe guy.
A fresh wipe?
Like the pack?
Like what you give on your kids' tushies?
Yeah, but like adult fresh wipes.
Is that a new thing? That's a new thing. Dude.
No.
That's in the last 5 years.
No, I grew up with like Cottonelle, a little box on top of the toilet for...
Facial tissues?
No. This is like wet.
Wet?
Yeah.
I thought that's a new thing.
No, dude. No. This is...
Wet toilet paper is a relatively new thing.
No, it's not wet. It's not toilet paper.
What is it?
So, like, you have your... You had, like, we also had toilet paper.
Did you flush it?
Yeah. So, like, I would first off wipe with the toilet paper, but then to get, like, nice and fresh, you use a wipe, like a wet wipe. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they use it on babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
But it's not the baby version. It's, like, the adult version.
So, what is it? Like, they're the Old Spice versions?
They're just a square, like Cottonelle. Cottonelle
I get that, but you keep saying they're not for babies.
Right. They're different from... The baby ones are way more sensitive.
To what? To have emotions?
To baby butts.
So they feel sad for the butts?
No.
You said they're more sensitive, man. I don't know how a piece of paper feels sensitive.
They're more soft, and like they're bigger because baby, you got to like... You got to get up... You have to actually get the...
Scoop.
The extra excrement.
We don't... Yeah. Yeah.
But as an adult, you're taking care of that first. This is just to freshen up, to feel slippy.
I don't want to feel slippy in that area.
You don't want to glide?
No, of course.
I
don't
want to
glide,
ever.
But I don't want to stick. I don't want to know that there's even a space there. There's got to be a rule that there should be no space there. It's not even a topic of conversation.
Hmm.
And that's the other thing. That's probably why I have a problem with the bidet.
Yeah.
Because it creates this strange realization that there is something down there.
You're not used to the slickness.
No, of course not. Why should I be?
I was raised in the slickness.
Calm down, Ben.
You were merely adopted into it.
Swear to me.
I was born with the Cottonelle fresh wipe.
Yeah, but that was, you know, that was a big moment for me this last week while you were gone.
I'm happy that you at least tried it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't, you know, I was a little nervous at first, but, you know, you push the button, it shoots, and there's the realization, and you dry it, and you tell yourself you're never going to do it again.
And you left feeling violated.
Absolutely.
Like, that Cody is dead.
I felt weird.
The Cody that never knew that
right.
is no more.
Right.
Now you're this new guy.
I'm just the same guy. I'm just better for it. Anyway.
Oh, God bless America.
I want to tell you about a company called JC Room Blocks. Do you have 10 or more out of town guests coming to an event near you? Maybe you have a bris, a wedding, a family reunion, a science convention. Maybe some friends are coming in town and they just want to get drunk in one place. Or your mom's coming into town and she's got 10 brothers and sisters and they need a room so they can all come over to your house and have a bagel. Well, I have the answer for you. JC Room Blocks. They research hotels in the area that you need the rooms. So if you're in San Diego, they're going to find those rooms. They're going to put them together for you. Oh, what? You need to be in Boston for a little bit? No big deal. Go over to Boston and hang out with your Boston friends. You got 10 or 15 of them and you need a room? Fucking Boston. That's what you're going to do. Since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. On top of discounted rates, they can also negotiate highly discounted bridal suites, shuttle service, and food and beverage functions. If you mention the Dan and Cody podcast, that's us, they'll waive their fee. That means you don't pay anything, okay? Check them out, jcroomblocks.com. I'm going to repeat that, jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter and Instagram. Follow them, check them out, get all them rooms!
We've talked about this before, but a couple years ago, the 2018 National Toy Hall of Fame has its finalists. I wanted to let you know about that.
Thank you.
There's 12 toys. The American Girl doll has been nominated.
As a
Toy Hall of Fame. Chalk.
Chalk.
Just Chalk has been nominated as a toy.
God, Chalk's been waiting in the wings for years.
Yeah, poor Chalk. Like
Chalk.
It's slim pickings if Chalk is like...
Oh,
a toy. Go to toyhalloffame.org.
It's like, what? Toyhalloffame.org?
Yeah.
It's like Chalk is the Terrell Owens.
It's been passed over. Like, right. If chalk gets in, it ain't going to the ceremony.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's been so passed over. Chutes and Ladders is a finalist for this year's Toy Hall of Fame. Chalk.
The Chalk Consortium is freaking out in their boots. Like, we've been working this for years. Chalk.
Everyone at Chalk.
Oh, like, my gosh.
The 10-cent Imperial Chalk.
That's the brand specifically?
Yeah. Here they say, historians believe that the earliest people played and created with chalk. Paleolithic art.
So why has it taken this long for chalk to even be recognized? You'd think that would have been the first Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like the first toy Hall of Fame. What do we need?
A ball.
Chalk, a ball. Yeah, like that's it. Chalk and a ball. That's all we got.
Yeah. Congratulations.
No, chalk, a ball, and a rock. Like, this is it. The rock should go first.
Well, I guess it need. I'm
block
sure.
Of wood.
I'm sure there was a conversation about, is chalk a toy? You know? Chutes and Ladders is a finalist.
Okay.
I like this one. The Fisher Price Corn Popper. You've seen Moxie with one of these things.
I see it here. Yeah. I had one of those.
Yeah, I had one of those too. Those were tons of fun.
Right.
You just roll it down the... Right. If anybody not here looking at this website, it's a big... It looks like a popcorn thing with a dome on top of it with a bunch of balls. And you push it like you would a vacuum or something. And as you're rolling it, these balls like pop. And it's like... Gah, 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 gah. It's very noisy, but it's a fun toy.
Okay.
I'm glad it's been nominated.
Okay.
The Magic 8 Ball. Is that a toy?
I mean, here's the thing. If that's a toy, so is the Ouija board. And they might as well have Satan as a toy because that's what they're playing with. The devil.
The devil. And I didn't realize the Magic 8 Ball was that old.
1946, huh?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's it allows users to flirt harmlessly with fortune telling.
Ooh.
Who's the copywriter on
these? We were not allowed to play with it when I was a kid.
What?
Yeah.
Mormon church? Fuck no.
It was like this weird thing. Ouija boards and magic eight balls, they were considered devil products.
That was the devil's.
And it was literally Satan talking to you.
Are you kidding me?
Nope, that's the truth.
It's a fucking like polygon.
Right, right.
With words on it.
Right.
That has generic answers. Like the devil, maybe.
The devil controls those games.
I feel like the devil would answer with more concise answers. Like, hell yes. And like, do it. Like,
no, he's got yes and no on a Ouija board.
But I mean, on an eight ball, it's always like,
ask again later.
It's always like probably or like sometimes.
Certainly says so or something like that, right?
Yeah, I feel like the devil would be way more direct.
Right.
Like,
but a magic eight ball is a finalist. Okay, what do we got next?
We've got He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
Okay, I mean, that's relatively new. Do you have, I'm curious, how many of these are picked?
I'm not
only
sure.
Only two or three will take their honored places in the hall this year.
Yeah.
So what is in the Hall of Fame?
What's already in?
Yeah.
A lot of things.
Inducted toys. Oh, there we go. So you keep, oh my God.
Here, let me get through this.
Let's get through this and I'll run through it and just, yeah. Okay.
Pinball has been nominated.
Pinball.
Just in general.
Of course.
That rickety ass, like Christmas sled.
I love that you are going to the description as saying that rickety ass Christmas sled. When if you go to the website,
it's very rickety.
It just says sled.
But like, if you were a kid sledding and like you had the option of like the saucer, a cool sled, and this, no kid, like the loser of your group gets this.
And this
sled.
These sleds were considered the most dangerous.
Oh, you can't
because
fucking
these would kill
them.
Kids. These sleds would kill kids because metal would go through their head. Okay, these were some of the most like kids would break bones.
Yeah, y'all, everyone listening, you know what sled I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you know, thanks for nominating sled.
It's the sled your neighbor was like, you can have this one. And it's all rusty.
Oh my gosh.
Tic-tac-toe, just that game in general.
Sure.
Is in the Hall of Fame. And Tickle Me Elmo.
Tickle Me Elmo.
From 96.
Okay. Okay. I respect that.
Tudor Electric Football.
Tudor.
I've never seen this game.
Okay.
Like, how would you play electric football?
I don't know.
And then, of course, Uno. the game Uno.
Uno, right, right. Uno's a good one.
So these are your 2018 Hall of Fame finalists.
Those are your Hall of Fame finalists. That's like 10. No, there's 12.
Oh.
There's 12 of them, right? 12 total?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's 12 total. Now, 2 to 3 make it out each year. And I'm just going to give you guys all a couple little information. It looks like 2008 was the first year that they started putting things in the Toy Hall of Fame. Now, here's some things that make sense. In 1998, marbles.
Okay.
Marbles was inducted into the Hall of Fame. That makes sense, right?
Marbles should be there.
Marbles should be. I mean, you basically say little balls should definitely be there. A teddy bear.
Do you know how to play marbles?
When I was a kid, I did. I thought it was something where you shoot it and then you got to keep them.
Yeah, yeah. You,
it was like the original Pog.
Yeah. You like, right? you can, right. You pick a color. Your opponent picks the color.
Right.
Circle. And you shoot a marble to like knock their shit out.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So then you had, like I said, teddy bear, which makes sense.
Okay.
Teddy bear seems like it should have been in there in the first place. But those are some of, from the original years. Erector set was 98. But then what happened is a couple years go by.
Uh-huh.
And it's unfortunate, but it took 2 years for bicycle to be inducted in the Hall of Fame.
Bike should be like on the Rushmore,
right,
of toys.
Bicycle should be on the Rushmore of toys. The hula hoop was 99. The Frisbee was 98. Here's an interesting one. In 2011, it took it a lot of years, but finally, blanket.
That's a toy?
That's a toy. Blanket made it into the... Oh, this is great. In 2008, thank God, we finally got it in there, but the stick...
Congratulations, the stick.
And then actually this is even sad. You know how we said rock?
Yeah.
Ball. What was the other thing?
Yeah.
What was the other thing we said?
Rock, ball, chalk?
Yeah, chalk. Like that should be in there. The ball, it didn't make it into the list for 11 years. 11 years.
They're just going back. Couldn't get that last judge to flip on ball.
No, let me give you a couple of things that actually made it before a ball.
A kite?
Candyland made it before a ball.
Really?
Alphabet blocks made it before a ball. Let me see if there's something round. Let me see here. Let me see.
Marbles.
Tonka trucks. The complexity of a Tonka truck made it before a ball. Mr. Potato Head made it before a ball. I mean, these are just like...
Stick made it before a ball.
Stick made it before a ball. Kite was 2007.
Oh, I like that Super Soaker's there.
Super Soaker's in there. That's kind of cool. I think that was a reasonable amount of time to wait on a Super Soaker.
The Slinky? It took them till 2000 to get Slinky in there.
Right, right.
My mother's playing with Slinkies.
Right. I mean, I get it. The Wiffle Ball was 2017. You know, there's some of these make sense. Some of these are criminal.
Yeah.
Absolutely criminal.
Clue.
2017.
Clue got in last year.
Right, right. I mean, I feel good about a lot of these, except I think Bicycle should have been one of the first ones in there. I definitely think Ball should have beat Cardboard Box.
Cardboard Box is in?
Yeah, Cardboard Box made it in 2005. So...
I want to go to this museum.
Oh my gosh. Why? You just looking. Yeah.
Yeah. Just want to like,
I mean the swing.
When did the swing get in?
18 years after the whole Hall of Fame kicked in. So,
oh, swing.
Swing.
God bless Stick. The swing.
Well, anyway.
So yeah, that is out of that bunch of toys that are going in. What were the two that you would call up to the big leagues?
That should be in?
Yeah.
Well, definitely chalk.
Yeah. Poor chalk.
Check, and I'm going to chalk, and I'm going to say sled. Just sled.
You want sled in there?
I think you need to put the things that are, like, well-known before you start throwing in Master of the Universe toy.
Yeah. I think Tudor Electric Football, like... Someone's fucking uncle is like on the board.
Or yeah, somebody's like, somebody's
someone's paying. Know,
someone's
yeah.
getting some cash and throwing that in. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
That should not be in.
Right.
I'm sorry. Out of this, I think He-Man needs to be there.
I think He-Man has a long ways to go. I think
really?
There are, yeah, I mean
G.I. Joe's in there.
yeah, that's great. But G.I. Joe started a lot of this.
True. True.
So, like, but even still, if we're still talking about chalk and sled, some of the most basic toys ever made.
Yeah.
And it is 20 years since they started this Hall of Fame. We got a problem. There is some corruption at the toy
at the
Hall
top.
Of Fame. At the top.
It starts at the top.
It does.
It trickles down.
Like a radio flyer's in there. It's already in there. You know, like these are staples to childhood. Like the interesting thing is, you know what's not in here?
Hmm.
You're going to go to these like basic names.
Slap bracelets.
No. Doll.
A doll is in.
No, it's not. Doll is not even on here.
Well, that's why they got American Girl called up.
Great. So a brand.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Yeah. It's so
like you're going to say
you have
sled.
General things
yeah,
in there.
You've got ball.
Is that
stick,
all balls?
Doll house, but you don't have doll.
Yeah.
Doll is like doll stuffed animal isn't even it. Teddy bear is as close as it gets. And I'm okay. I'll give teddy bear the stuffed animal heads up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll be in there, but doll?
Yeah, that's a big blunder on their part.
Right.
Well, out of this entire list, I want tic-tac-toe in there this year, and I want He-Man. Tic-tac-toe, I feel like, is a game.
I respect that, but I think I have to stick with the originals.
Chalk
and sled.
I think chalk's been off the list this long. They can wait another year.
I mean, what's it going to do? Dry up? Hey!
Yeah. There's always next year, Chalk.
Yeah. Good luck, Chalk.
That's what they've been saying for 50 years.
Man, Chalk's coming back. Chalk's making a comeback. It's not like they said colored chalk. They went straight chalk, like yeah. Straight up regular chalk.
Plain chalk. Your teacher used it. Right. Fuck it.
God. Anyway. Well, that's Hall of Fame of Toys.
The champion of the week. Yeah.
This week's champion, folks.
Who is it, Dan? Who's the champion, man?
We've got a man. A man down in Hurricane Florence Town. Is a rescue worker. They're continuing to help those in the Carolinas stranded after the devastating damages of Hurricane Florence.
Oh, no.
This man rescued 6 dogs. They were found abandoned in a locked cage.
6 dogs?
6 dogs. They were abandoned in a locked cage in Leland, North Carolina.
Is this one of those things where they were abandoned, or it's like this family, like, knew they couldn't take all of the dogs, and it was just an unfortunate situation in a series of unfortunate moments?
I think maybe there was a rush, and they were just like, we gotta go.
Our family's more important than, unfortunately, these 6 dogs.
Yeah. There's a video taken of the rescue.
Right.
And posted on Twitter by a journalist, Marcus DiPalla, on Sunday. And it's going viral. It's been shared more than 50,000 times. But in the clip, the dogs there, they can be seen like sort of like hanging on the fence to not be in the water,
right?
And otherwise, they would like just be doggy paddling. Yeah, it's fucking pretty sad. But the rescue workers just strolled up and undid the cage, and they were free.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We got them out, but by the time we left, the water was so high that they would have drowned if they weren't, like, hanging up there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm trying to get the name so I can give them some credit here. But we're just going to say...
Gordon Dogman.
Gordon Dogman.
Gordon Dogman saved these dogs' lives. Florence was a hell of a storm. I got a friend that lives in Raleigh.
Oh, really?
And she said that, like, you know, she posted a whole bunch of stuff on Facebook about it. I didn't ask her because she let the world know what was going on, which is good.
Yeah.
And she said, like, they were just prepping and preparing for the worst.
Like mayhem.
And Raleigh was missed. Like, it turned south. and it was supposed to be kind of in the face of the storm when it came, when, once it got a little further inland.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like a lot of water. The New York Times had this post on it where from Thursday of last week to Tuesday, Wilmington, that whole section right there along the coast, they received upwards of 40 plus inches of rain.
Jesus.
40 inches of rain. 4 feet. Almost 4 feet of rain. 40 plus inches.
That's so much rain.
That's so much rain. That's insane.
That's a child.
That is.
It's the size of a child.
That is. That's child. That's child size. Child size rain.
I mean, it's, hurricanes are scary just in general.
Absolutely.
That those kind of winds can just tear your shit up.
Right.
And I don't know what's worse, the scare of fires, tornadoes, or hurricanes, but I feel like those are our three major, like, major worries in across the U.S.
Well, the interesting thing is we have seasons for these things, right?
Yeah.
You know, hurricane season, according to the national whatever it is, runs like it runs from May to November.
Yeah.
But we get the heaviest of it near the end of summer because at that point the water's boiled over and it's been really hot and it's kind of built the right conditions to where it runs through that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's been a constant for as long as we've been around.
Mm-hmm.
And then fire season is summer, right?
Yeah.
Especially in the United States. And Australia's got it on the opposite time of year.
Yeah.
From what I heard, the guys that fight the fires, they go fight fires in Australia.
When they're done here.
Because flips over. It's summer there when it's winter here.
Yeah.
So.
And they need all the relief they can get. And then right. This is, I don't know what it's going to be like in 10 years, man. L.A. might be too fucking hot. I mean, especially where I'm at. So hot.
It's pretty hot. It's really hot.
These extreme heat, extreme cold.
We don't get extreme cold, though.
But, all the seasons are like, super heightened now.
Yeah, it's definitely, they're definitely on the edge every year.
Yeah.
I mean, we are pretty much warm all year, and then it gets hot in the summer.
Yeah, yeah. Scorching.
Scorching hot. Thanks, Valley.
Yeah. But, so champion of the week, these rescue workers and anyone helping with the efforts to free animals and people and make sure that we're all good.
Thank you, Gordon Dogman.
Unrelated, did you see that video of a newscaster doing the news in the wind and he was like, he was making these motions like he was getting like blown away? And he's like, I'm here. It's really hard to stand and blah, blah, blah. And then like the video like pans out and then behind him, two random people
just walking,
are just
no
walking
problem.
Regular. Like, no problem.
That's awesome.
But it's like, dude, come on, you fucking news sources. You know that everyone is like, fake news, this is bullshit. Don't believe the news. And then you're like, hey, act like you're getting blown away.
Well, that was my big beef.
It's like, come on, man.
I had kind of a beef with this idea because before the storm hit, news is like, Cat 4 is going to come inland. Yeah, exactly. And like this whole time, I'm like, here we come, Florence. Cat 4. Let's see what a Category 4 storm looks like that they say is a once-in-a-lifetime storm hitting this coast. I'm like excited.
And we all, we're eating cereal. Like we want to see
ramen.
People get blown
ramen
over.
Is just hanging out of my mouth. Just waiting for that day. And then the day comes where it's about to hit. It's been downgraded to a Category 2.
And you're bummed.
And you're bummed. I want to
see a roof get ripped
absolutely.
Off.
Absolutely. I'm like super upset. I'm happy that it didn't work out that way. But I'll be honest. The media ramped it up to be the storm of a century.
Yeah.
And man, it brought a lot of rain. But it disappointed in the way that it said Cat 4, Cat 3 when it hits land. Craziness. Instead, it was Cat 2. Tons of water, tons of water, tons of water.
And are they?
I'm glad, you know, most people are okay. Unfortunately, there have been a couple lives lost, but, you know.
And so they what? They get more money with more people watching. So their goal is to blow shit up out of proportion so that you want to stick around and watch whatever they're playing.
I get it. You got a product. You got to sell it. I understand. I want the facts to the situation of the storm. And how they present those facts can be questionable at times.
Yeah.
But the information that you're being given, you have to kind of sift through some of that at times. The big news outlets, CNN makes it out to be like crazy chaos, storm of the century. You've got local officials that are saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Like local people that you respect, and you have to think like, you know, the governor's saying, you got to get out of here. Because the governor doesn't want a bunch of dead people.
And if you're in that storm reporting from it, unless you're like Geraldo Rivera, like I don't think there's a reason for alert. Like I think Geraldo's the only dude who will actually go in some dangerous shit.
No, that's not true at all.
Geraldo, he's been known of like being in like war zones and
right,
freaking just pandemonium. So like send Geraldo.
He's been in some of the worst places in the world.
Yeah, with that fucking mustache.
Right.
But like, it's just, you get so much hate towards the news, and you give them exactly what they want. You feed them exactly the bullshit that people hate you for
right.
on a silver platter.
Right.
And it's like, of course no one's going to believe you now.
Right. I'm okay. I mean, I got the right information. It's just unfortunately the way it's presented on television is to be like, well, this, who was that for?
They're like people watching. Like,
No. But I'm saying what network was this?
I forget.
Was it like CNN or was it like, you know?
News.
Anyway. Yeah, it is what it is. Like, I find it interesting and I was excited for it. It's kind of like the coverage of any major disaster or event. It's always like you're in this hyperbolic space where it's just so intensified and you're not even there. I mean, we're a 6-hour flight away. What's the news?
It was the Weather Channel.
Weather Channel standing firm, backing the reporter who seems to be on the brink of falling, and these guys are running in the background. TMZ. There we go. That's who we're getting it from.
So he's like, oh my God, I can't stand. We're being blown away.
That's interesting.
And it just looks like he's fighting it.
Well, he's also trying to keep his earpiece in.
And then these dudes are just walking to their car. Yes, no big deal.
Oh my gosh, that's too bad.
And he's about to get picked up.
Huh, interesting. Well. God That's bless. The news. I'm glad most of the people are okay, and I know that the cleanup's going to take some time over there in North Carolina, South Carolina area, but everybody be safe out there.
And we love you, and hook us up with an Apple Podcast review if you want.
Yeah, we love those.
We love them.
Later.
Thanks for listening and laughing with the Dan and Cody Podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are on Instagram @DanCodyPodcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast.
Subscribe, bitch!
Ain't nobody played itself down the shit, all right.